Well, we're back again with the Word of God, ready to talk to you about Jesus. Reading today from the book of Hebrews, the 9th chapter, the 14th verse. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You know, there is so much in this one passage of Scripture. Until if we had 2 hours to talk on it, we still couldn't get our thought over. So far as the completeness of what is hid within this wonderful passage of Scripture. But today I'd like to take just a few minutes and try to bring to your mind some things that might be of some help to you in your Christian walk of life. And also things that perhaps will be interesting to those that have never come to know Jesus. Maybe something can be said from this passage of Scripture that would make you to know that God has set up a thorough program for mankind so far as salvation is concerned. Here Paul is telling us, as he points back to the Old Testament, he is telling us that there is a true tabernacle that is not made with hands. He is telling us that there is a true atonement that comes from a human sacrifice. And he is telling us here that the blood of goats and the blood of animals could never atone for sin. You know, the Bible tells us that the blood of those animals could never atone for sin, inasmuch as those things brings to God's memory year by year sin, or the act of sin. But Jesus, the Lord Himself, coming in a human body, coming to be a human sacrifice, the Bible tells us that He purged our conscience once and for all from sin by His own blood. And having purged our conscience, then He entered into the holies of holies, and there today He is at the right hand of the Heavenly Father. You know, it's such a wonderful thought to be able to understand and to know that God has done something that has secured mankind. When you look toward the eternities, and when you look toward the grave, and you look toward things that are coming, all of the disasters that seem to be forming to come upon this earth, then it makes you glad that somewhere, at one time, somebody really done something to secure humanity. You know, there's no security in this world so far as the things of this world or people of this world having the answer. There is no security in this world. I appreciate our forms of government that we have throughout the world that are legitimate forms of government, or those that are concerned for the people. I appreciate the great orators that have contributed their part to the cause of humanity. I appreciate science and all of their efforts, as long as they have been true efforts toward mankind and his security. But you know, in the light of all of this, they still don't have the answer. They still haven't come up with the answer as of yet. They still haven't been able to settle man's problem, nor to offer man a security or a continuing peace. And so then when we see all of these things, we become aware of the fact that there is no hope in the earth for mankind. There is but one answer, and that is God. And when we think about God, then of course we think about His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world and who died for our sins, who gave Himself without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, that God might receive Him in the behalf of my soul atonement. You know, it thrills my heart when I think about Jesus. When I think about the wonderful things of God and what He hath done for me and the love of God. You know, the Bible tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And when you think about that, you ask yourself the question, what does God mean that nothing can separate us from the love of God? But friend, listen, when you think about Jesus, and when you think about the dying at Calvary, and you think about the suffering, and you bring to memory the things that God did in offering up His only begotten Son, then you know that there is such a great love that nothing could ever take you away from it. If God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life, then we see the love of God manifested in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And we see this great, magnificent love, and we understand what God hath done for us. Then we say, Father, that's what You mean. You are telling me that Your love is so great that You gave Your only Son, that Jesus is the conveyed love of God from Your heart, Heavenly Father, and in that You love me so much that You gave the chiefest thing of heaven, that You gave the best thing that heaven could afford. If You gave me that, oh God, how could there be anything else that would be greater than that? And how could You withhold from me anything, Father, in that You gave me the best to start with? I know that You'll give me the other things, because anything that You could give me in this world or the world to come, it is, of course, less than the best that You've already given me. So I can rest with a sure hope, Father, that You're going to give me the best, because You've already given me the best that heaven can afford. And then when I think about these things, and I think, now, Lord, how wonderful it is. Paul, the great apostle that received the revelation of Jesus Christ, here he tells me as an individual, he says, and nothing shall separate you from the love of God. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. There is no power that can do it. There is no heights, no depths, things present, things to come. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. But the love of God is shed abroad upon us by the grace of God, and by Calvary, the love of God is abundantly given to us. I tell you what, it is a thrilling experience to be a Christian. It is an exciting thing to know that God hath His eyes upon you. When you think about Christ and you think about God, you know, you're not thinking about just an ordinary man when you think about God. You're thinking about the one who holds the universe in His hand. Like the song I wrote, you know, about the Lord. The Bible said, and He rocks the world like a babe in a swing. You're thinking about the one that scooped out the deep of the ocean. The one that took the stars and flung them from His fingertip. And you're talking about the one that has the all-seeing eyes. Whereas the Bible tells us that the eyes of God are throughout the earth, beholding the good and the evil. And God is rewarding every man according as his work shall be. And then the Bible tells us also that God, it says His eyes are throughout the earth, and God is going to and fro in the earth looking for the upright in heart, that He might show Himself strong in the behalf of those that are upright in heart. You know, I can't help but be thrilled when I think about God. I can't help but be stirred when I think about God, because I know that God loves me. And knowing that God loves me means more to me than anything else. Friend, let me tell you, if you know that God loves you, what else is there to worry about? The Bible said, if your ways please God, He maketh even thine enemies to be at peace with you. But if our ways don't please God, then we've really got problems. But when you know that God is on your side, what else do you need? If you've got God, the Bible said, and my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. God will give you everything that you need if you serve God. Whereas the terms is used, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all of these other things shall be added unto you. The great mistake that mankind makes is that they seek everything but God's will and God's program. But you know, if we seek God and find God's will, then we don't have to worry about anything. So it is, it gives a great consolation when you think about God. When you think about the greatness of God. See, when you think of God, you think of somebody that has the ability to keep His promise. Somebody that has the power and ability to do what He tells you that He will do. You know, men might promise you different things, and they may have good intentions, but even the wealthiest men in the world sometimes fail. They cannot produce the things that they speak to you about, you know, and those things that they promise you. And you'll be disappointed many times in life in those kind of things, but I want to tell you one thing, you'll never be disappointed in God. The Bible tells us that we are they that place no confidence in the flesh. You know, we should never put confidence in anybody. And I know when I say this, I'll probably get a repercussion from it. But I want you to know that this is the Word of God, and this is the safe path to travel. Did you know that we are they that place no confidence in the flesh? A man should never put confidence in his wife. He should never place confidence in his children. He should never place confidence in his neighbor. He should never place confidence in his own ability of ingenuity or his own fleshly ability, except that he seek God in a person. You know, we should confide in ourselves just so much as accordingly that we have God. And we should confide in our wife just according to the measure of God that we see in our wife. And we should have confidence in our children just according to the way that they mature in God as they grow older. You know, when you do that, you're not leaning upon the arm of flesh, and you don't have any confidence in the flesh. But if you see God in a person's life, and you have confidence in that God that's in that person's life, and as a consequence of that, you find that you're never disappointed. And it's so wonderful to know that God will not disappoint you. It's so wonderful to know that you can lean upon the arm of God. Now, the preacher may fail you and the people may fail you, but God will never fail you. You know, when you're sick, God will heal you. When you need a helping hand, God will give it to you. Brother, sister, you that are listening and looking this way today, I want you to know that God loves you, and I want you to know that God cares for you, and I want you to know that God wants to help you, and God will help you if you will give God a chance to help you. You know, a lot of people, they don't give God a chance to help. They're so self-willed, so determined. They've got their own thing in life, and they've got their own way mapped out in life, and they have so much self-will until God doesn't have any part in their life. You know, it's like it's written in the Scripture, where the Bible said, "The zeal of thine house has eaten me up." You know, when you think of this little body here as being a house or a tabernacle where life stays, then it makes you to stop and think that perhaps my personal zeal in my own powers of ability and ingenuity has actually eaten God up. That is, it has put God out of my life altogether. And you know, if you come up with that answer, you're a very sad person. But there's one thing about it. If we commit our ways unto God, God shall establish our goings. If we acknowledge God in all of our ways, then God shall direct our path, and all of the paths of God are peace. You know, there's one thing that we should understand, and that is this, that when we have trouble and when we have problems, we know that we're not following the path of peace. We know that we're not in the path of God because we're not following the path of peace. But I tell you, if you get in the path of God, if you walk in the ways of God, you will have a path of peace, and you will be happy, and you will be filled with the glorious things of God, and you won't be bothered with the anxieties of life. So then, let us be careful, for nothing is so far as the desire of this world, but rather seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that this true tabernacle that God has pitched may be, as we say, the body of Christ. For if it be the body of Christ, it is the true tabernacle, and God Himself, the great Holy Spirit, will tabernacle in this body right here. Now it's wonderful to know that Jesus cares. I'd like to take just a minute or two and pray for you. And I trust that God is doing something for you. As we pray together, I want you to believe. Jesus said, when you pray, you must believe. If you don't believe, it doesn't do any good to pray. Father of heaven, we pray in the name of your lovely Son, Jesus, asking in the name of Jesus Christ, the lovely Son of God, as we feel His holy anointing and feel His holy power, the virtue that came forth from His body, Lord, that touched the body of the little woman and healed her, oh God. And I pray that you'll heal right now as I feel your spirit heal in the name of Jesus. Everyone that's looking in this direction, wherever they may be, oh God, heal in the name of Jesus. Forgive their sins and save them, I pray thee in Jesus' name. You know, I felt the mighty power of God as we prayed. I always do feel His wonderful anointing. And we pray for many people. We get requests by mail and personal requests, and we're praying for people all the time, and they get their answers. It's wonderful how that they get their answers from God, and some of them are very miraculous. And I'd like to say this to you. Write me a letter. Just write me a letter and tell me that you've been watching and you've been hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I ask you to put in that letter as you write me or a request, just one request that you really need or desire from God, and let us pray about it and see if God doesn't answer your request. All right, until we see you next time, we're going to be praying for you. May the Lord bless you, and bye for now.